This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. We've got a full house today. In the studio with me are my co-hosts, Tina Camilia, T. Xiao Eek, and Sharmila Gunnison. And it's also World Radio Day today, and the theme this year is dialogue, tolerance, and peace. So today, we're going to be looking back at some of the programs that we've produced on BFM, and you know, all four of us, over the years, which promotes a more peaceful and tolerant world. So first up is something that I produced, almost 9 years ago, The Imam and the Pastor. Sworn enemies, Nigerian clerics, Pastor James Wuye and Imam Muhammad Ashafa, they led opposing armed militias and at one point even plotted each other's deaths. But a chance meeting between the two led to a reconciliation, and the duo actually became advocates for peace instead.
My pick is a health and living show I produced that ended with an unexpected call that stays with me to this day.
And then I talk about what we can learn from our cultural heritage when it comes to moderation. We revisit an interview with a researcher who thinks that the Zapin dance could provide insight into balancing religious extremism.
And to round off, we go back to healthcare again. We expect doctors to practice tolerance and acceptance, but what happens when people face stigma and discrimination even within the healthcare system? So we'll be revisiting a show on healthcare for the LGBT community.
But we have something going on our Twitter poll, as always.
Yes, we are asking you, because it's World Radio Day, is radio still relevant in the digital age? We are kind of hoping you'll say yes. But the options that we've given you are yes, no, and maybe to some communities. So you can take our poll or join in on the conversation at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
All right, so but before we get into all our stories, here's Edwin Starr with War, What Is It Good For?
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Edwin Starr with War, What Is It Good For? Absolutely nothing, which leads us to the first interview we're looking back on. Just a reminder, it's World Radio Day today, and we're looking at the theme, which is promoting dialogue, tolerance, and peace. So my choice, which is a show that I produced back in 2010, it was titled The Imam and the Pastor. And our guests were Pastor James Wuye and Imam Muhammad Ashafa. They're both religious leaders from Kaduna, a city in northern Nigeria. So just some backstory. Back in 1992, violent inter-religious conflict broke out in their home state, with Christians and Muslims fighting each other, you know, everywhere in the marketplace. They were destroying each other's crops. They were attacking each other's families. You know, it was just mayhem. And both the imam and the pastor were also drawn into the fighting. They were both young men at the time. And both actually paid a very heavy price for their involvement. Imam Ashafa lost two of his cousins and a very much beloved spiritual teacher. And Pastor James actually lost his hand. Here's Pastor James actually sharing how he got roped into the armed militia in the first place.
We have unhealed wounds, and we were programmed to hate one another. At the slightest provocation, we go on each other, destroy our places of worship, and kill. And this history of counterfighting makes it possible, and it became imperative on us to train to say we are protecting. Everybody is really protected. So who even is the offender is the problem. So this is how I became militia, because I have been programmed to hate. And given these situations of the crisis we have been doing, everybody wants to defend his own faith, his own constituency, and his people. And that's how I took into militia. And I trained, and I was trained on how to sniff out people's life, break down places, destroy places, and pull down bridges and homes.
And here's Pastor James again sharing how he and the imam actually met.
Well, we had a friend who is a media man like you, and he's like a friend who knows me very well and happened to know imam. And I used to see him as a moderate Muslim, by my definition, of course. But he's a practicing Muslim. I realized that moderation was actually Islam. So he came to us after a tea break, when we went to discuss issues of child immunization organized by the UNICEF. And there are certain misgivings on the immunization of children in Nigeria, stories which you will have read in the recent past. Then it behooves on the government to look for religious leaders, because we have the widest constituency. If we want a thing done, We can market anything using religion. So they want to use the strength of our religion to talk about immunization. And that's how we met with Imam. He was representing the Muslim youth. I was representing the Christian youth. And he put our hands together and say, Imam and Pastor, you can keep Kaduna State of Nigeria, Northern Nigeria, peaceful if you want. Please talk. And that was the magic.
Of course, this wasn't as easy as that. Here's Imam Ashafa describing his feelings seeing Pastor James, whose militia group was responsible for his cousins and teachers' deaths.
You know, when you are being betrayed or when you have been abused, and the person who abuses you on your bad day or your bad day, your happiest moment, you see him coming into your front. You know how you feel? You get yourself hot again. The wound becomes fresh. The memories of my beloved one that I lost become fresh. My heart is beating. Beating, this is the guy. This is the guy which group killed my spiritual teacher. It's time to revenge. I was beating, my heart is beating deeply. Feeling the pains all over. But I'm inside the government house. He's a security around, you don't fight.
Mm-hmm.
You always pretend to be the good guy.
Yeah.
So I control myself pretending to be the good guy.
Right.
Until we get out of that place. And then the friend told us, as we start talking about debate instead of dialogue. In debate, you have to look for a winner and a loser. But in dialogue, it's about understanding. It's about winning. So I decided to go for that, to debate. And I asked for his address and contact so that I can get a way of getting rid of him. That was the intention initially. Until I collect the contact, he gave me his contact, come to my office, this ecumenical center, which is the church cathedral, and then I give him my contact, he should come to the mosque. None of us go to mosque or the cathedral. We met that same journalist. Here I put a kudo that the journalist has a powerful instrument to change the world. The media, you have the most powerful instrument to change the world. If Idris Musa have not taken the courage, knowing us as the two bad boys, and bringing us together to talk that day, and then he said, look, I'm giving my office. Anytime you want to have a meeting, please come to my office. So the office become the safe haven for us to meet. And that created the change, you see.
So in 1995, they both formed the Interfaith Mediation Center, which is a religious grassroots organization that has successfully mediated between Christians and Muslims throughout Nigeria.
And their organization, now with thousands of members, reaches into the militias and trains the country's youth, as well as women, religious figures and tribal leaders, to become civic peace activists. Under their leadership, Muslim and Christian youth jointly rebuild the mosques and the churches that they once destroyed through war and violence.
Yes, and they also travel the world sharing their very, very powerful story. And they were in Malaysia as well, you know, part of their tour back in 2010, which is why we actually had that really wonderful opportunity to meet them and, you know, to share that story with our listeners. So mm-hmm. I think people were wondering, you know, why are they in Malaysia, you know, a fairly peaceful country. Mm-hmm. So here's actually their parting message to us Malaysians from that interview.
We don't ask people to leave their spiritual belief. We say be who you want to be your spirituality, but create space for the other. Because we are in the same ground, we are in the same world. My imam friend has told me that one of the teachings is that that God has created men and women from one pair, and at some point it's also further says that if God has wished, he would have created us as one people, one religion. But because he wants diversity, he wants the mixture. In diversity, you see the source of strength. So I even see Malaysians with their diversity as a source of strength, where they can harness this strength together to become the strongest nation, a more viral and prosperous nation, peaceful and not war, because peace is cheap. War is very expensive. Try the gadgets and you see how much it costs.
Yeah.
And somebody may say, why you talk of war in Malaysia? We don't see it coming. It's not there. We want Malaysians to know that war begins in the heart of men and women. And it is there we must begin to build a rampant of peace. Because when you feel marginalized, when you feel unaccepted, when you feel excluded, it's a time bomb to say there is early warning. Are all Malaysians happy as Malaysians? Are they free to express themselves socially, politically? Do they have sense of belonging? Are they having a space, a safe space, to bring the best they have into the country, into the table, so that they will start thinking of Malaysian first and foremost before they think of their race, their tribe, their religion, or their culture? We need to create that space. your identities, your cultures of Malaysian culture, the diversity, is a gift that very rare to find even in Asia, the species that Almighty God has put together in this country. So it's now left for every Malaysian, not only the government, to say, we want a greater Malaysia. And to have a greater Malaysia, I must put my input to make sure my neighbor is as safe as myself.
So if that doesn't talk about, you know, peace, tolerance and dialogue, I really don't know what
I think we have to end the show here because we've covered it.
I mean, I was, I did the show back in 2010, like I keep mentioning, but, you know, even almost 9 years later, I still remember their story. Mm-hmm. You know, I was this bright bushy-tailed producer back then, barely 6 months into the job, but still, that story stuck with me, you know, seeing this, these two holy men coming in together. They were so cute together, actually. So just wonderful, you know, and the kind of, you know, hurt that they had to go through, that they had to reconcile themselves with, and then, you know, to travel the world together. I mean, if you listen to the podcast as well, you'll hear how they had still plotted each other's deaths, even when they were together. Like the pastor would carry a pillow around with him in case he wanted to suffocate the imam, if the imam got, you know, and it's just funny. They just, the dynamics was amazing. And I mean, again, you know, re-listening to this interview almost 10 years later, it's still as, it's as timeless as ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And they're still working together. They received a UN Award for Intercultural Innovation. There's even a film about their story called The Imam and the Pastor. But I really, really recommend everyone listens to that show. I don't know. I mean, just listening to the clips, how did you guys feel about it?
It's inspiring, actually. Very. Especially with that bit of a, you know, behind the scene.
Yes. there is a funny story to this.
Tell us more.
Well, what happened was bright bushy-tailed producer that I was, really excited to meet them. So as they came to the studio, I, you know, rushed to greet them. And then first I tried to shake the imam's hand, who, of course, you know, very politely declined because he is a holy man. And then I went, you know, to cover my embarrassment. I tried to shake the pastor's hand, but I went straight for his prosthetic arm.
Oh,
and so he very politely, you know, moved away.
Thankfully, they were such men of peace by then.
They were, and they were very kind to me because they could see what a fool I was. But it was, I mean, they are truly, truly lovely people. I'm so glad that we got to meet them, and I'm so glad that we got to share that story with, you know, all our listeners back then. So,
And a very, very timeless story, relevant.
Yeah, the messages still resonate. You couldn't tell that this was an interview from a decade ago.
I mean, in a way, it saddens me that we still need to be reminded of these messages, but at least it's there for us to listen to.
Yeah,
And it struck me that the number of times they kept saying the power of the media and the power of journalism, and I think it's so fitting, and it's such a great reminder of why we continue to do what we do.
Exactly, especially in days when we're feeling down, you know. It's like stories like this really remind me why I do what I do. So anyway, a quick check on our Twitter poll. Tramila, what's happening there?
Yes, actually, on that related note, we are asking you on Twitter, is radio still relevant in this digital age? We have some actually very encouraging answers. 70% of you said yes. And 22% of you say maybe to some communities. And 8% of you have said no. So we do hope we managed to change your mind over the course of this hour. We did have someone tweeting us, John Zandt, who says, well, I think he means radio is not relevant in its current format, where you have short, edited, regulated conversations. Podcasts are much better for these discussions. And then he lists a couple of podcasts that we can check out. I suppose for some people, longer conversations work better, not when it's aired live, but on podcast, so they can listen at their leisure, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, all of our shows are podcasted, and trust me, I've done 45 to 50 minute shows, so
yes,
there are very long conversations there that are hardly edited.
Julie doesn't have short edited conversations.
None. Incapable.
So you can keep the conversation going. You can take our poll at BFM Radio. You can also tweet us at 01. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899.
All right, we're going to take a quick break now. But before that, here's War. Here's the group War with "Why Can't We Be Friends." You're listening to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.